I wanna know. I'm the kind of pirate that'll call a pirate out. What you claiming pirate for? Y'all ain't gonna shout. Welcome into the Pirate Preview right here on the Sports Objective. I'm Dave Richmond along with my good buddy and co-host, and that is my good friend Bubba Rosenbaum. How are you, dude?
Doing well, Dave. Hope you are.
Certainly, if you hear a missing voice, that will be Kyle from the McGrange Barber. He's under the weather, and Bubba, we're thinking about him, praying hard for him. And I know Kyle take the meds and certainly get better, and we can't wait to have you back here on the show with us, hopefully the next episode or two, but certainly thinking hard about him, right, Bubba?
Yeah, Kyle's certainly in our thoughts and prayers, and hoping he is feeling a lot better and able to return to work very soon.
No doubt. Hurry up, Kyle. No doubt about that. By the way, Bubba, it's Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. I know that you'll be probably watching a lot of television and maybe some turkey, eating some turkey. By the way, speaking of turkey, do you have a favorite thing you like to eat on Thanksgiving, or maybe a family member, a recipe that you, something you can't live without?
I love it all. I'm not picky, but if I had to choose a single dish, I think I would go with my grandma's sweet potato casserole. Unfortunately, she passed away back in 2015, but my mom has continued to make that dish. And so that's something I always look forward to, the sweet potato casserole with the chopped pecans and, crusted topping.
Oh, my goodness. I've got to come over there. Maybe I can be a family member. But anyway, I certainly have the same thing. My grandmother's, both sets of family, my grandmothers were just tremendous cooks. And this time of year, I really miss them during the holiday season. Not only to spend time with them, but their tremendous cooking. And Bubba, I know there's going to be a lot of football for people to watch and parades and different things. So hopefully they enjoy that. We're here talking ECU football on Saturday as the Pirates taking on SMU. Of course, our good friends of the Pirate IMG, Learfield College, and certainly the, as far as radio and television, it'll be on ESPN Plus. And the game is at noon. Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium, 7% capacity still, Bubba, for the football game. And I know that fans are disappointed. You'll be there, and grateful that you're able to go. And certainly love to – I can't go, unfortunately, but I'm glad that you can.
Yeah, looking forward to getting out to Dowdy-Ficklin on Saturday. And like you said, in a noon kickoff, like it seems like has been the case so often. We have had a few night games, but all these noon games at Dowdy-Ficklin, but looking forward to getting out there. And this year, I really don't mind the noon kickoff because you're not really supposed to be tailgating anyway, even though I'm sure some folks don't necessarily follow that. But hopefully we can play well. Last year in the season finale, and which was also the home finale against Tulsa, we slept walk through a large part of that ball game, which is something Donnie Kirkpatrick talked about on Wednesday when he was addressing members of the local media via Zoom. So hopefully we can play much better football than we did in our final game of 2019.
No doubt. That's what made the Tulsa game on the road this year so disappointing, so hurt. We're not going to rehash all that, but the Pirates did win that football game, despite what the American officials wanted it to be. And that's what hurts so much is the Pirates didn't play very well at Dowdy-Ficklin last year on the road at Tulsa. They played really well, won the game, though the record will not show that, unfortunately. And anyway, you're absolutely right. You know, the Pirates played well against SMU down in Dallas last year, Bubba, and it came close. I mean, it was a close game. And I remember Tyler Snead had a breakout game, and Holton Ahlers was just on fire that day. I'll never forget that. And, of course, if you look at the Cincinnati and the SMU game, there are two games that really stand out as potential wins that shoulda, coulda, woulda, and we didn't in 2019. And here we are staring the last game in the face. Hard to believe that, Bubba, in some respects, the season feels kind of short. But yet, all the stuff we've had to deal with COVID makes the season feel like it's 20 games this year.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Obviously, we didn't play our first game until the final week of September. Only played 9 games instead of 12. So it definitely has flown by even more, but just everything that's gone into this year has made it feel like dog years in a sense as well.
Yeah.
You know, talking about that SMU game a season ago, 59-51, and just so many fireworks, nearly 1,300 yards of offense between the two teams. And, you know, this is a series with SMU that's 4-4 all time. But a little more about that game last year. You were talking about the day that Tyler Snead had, kind of like the one that Zay Jones had back in 2016 at South Carolina when he had 21 or 22 catches. Tyler had 19 receptions for 240 yards and 3 touchdowns, and Holt Naylor's right after throwing for over 500 against Cincinnati the week before in Greenville nearly did it to the Mustangs, 32 out of 42, 498 yards and 6 touchdowns as the Pirates rolled up over 600 yards of offense that day against the Ponies, 644 to be exact.
It was incredible. And you know what, Kyle had been mentioned, so since he's not on with us tonight under the weather again, he talked about, Bubba, this is a potential game where we could win it. And we could actually, if you look at it, we could actually pull off the upset. Dowdy Ficklin Stadium looks like we're not going to have another game. This is pretty much our bowl game. We're not going to have the 10th game as we were hoping for, if you did not know, on December 5th. But that's okay. You know what? This is, Bubba, I was going to say this real quick. This is kind of like we've talked about our friend Terry Gallagher. I'll mention the point again, a long spring football. So we were able to get the season in. You get the game experience of 9 games. Obviously, we wanted to have the win losses better. But in some respects, we could have had no season at all, which means the program, as crazy as this sounds, could be even further behind if the season was canceled and we had to wait until 21.
Yeah, you've heard a lot of people use the term throwaway year, and I guess I understand to an extent why they say that. But at the same time, I hate it. And what I mean is just like you're saying, it doesn't count against the guy's eligibility. They get the year back if they want it. Hopefully we'll be with our financial situation. If a guy wants to come back, hopefully we will be able to, reward him with that opportunity. That remains to be seen. So fingers crossed there for all those guys that want that additional year of eligibility and the NCAA is allowing. Such a strange year in so many regards.
No doubt about it. We have Rich Phillips, the play-by-play voice of the SMU Mustangs. We'll have him coming up in just a little while. Bubba, do you want to go to our first guest?
Yeah, before we talk to Rich, we caught up with Matt Semenza. Matt played defensive end / linebacker for the Pirates in the mid-90s on those Liberty Bowl teams. And let's go to that conversation with Matt Semenza right now.
Well, as we've been doing this podcast for over 2.5 years, one of the things we love the most is catching up with former later winners of any sport, right, Bubba?
Yeah, we've had this guy on the program before and, detailing his career, and I'm sure we'll talk some of that today, but we'll talk current East Carolina football. Welcome in East Carolina letter winner Matt Semenza. Matt, welcome back.
Hey, guys. Good to see you again. Always happy to be here talking sports with you. And, I have very strong opinions when it comes to ECU football, so I'm happy to share those with you. I try not to hold back, so.
Matt, Dave, very quickly, this is a natural time to bring this up since Matt's talking about his strong opinions. He was the first caller on last week's fifth quarter call-in show on Pirate Radio, and I was listening to Pirate Radio on Monday, and they were talking about some of the top calls and how some folks, despite the 28-3 win, were still not too pleased, and they referenced Matt's call and said this first guy that called in, they didn't call him by name, I don't believe, but they said this first guy that called in, you would have thought we lost by 3 or 4 touchdowns. I started laughing because I knew exactly who they were talking about, and I knew that he was coming on our show tonight.
That's great. You know, I have high standards for the program, and I tend to look at things like how the game would be viewed during the film study session the next day. And, you know, offensively, it was a very choppy performance, I thought. Definitely not a clean, you know, performance by any means. So thank God the defense played really well. I thought the defense really held it down on Saturday and did a good job. But offensively, it was very choppy.
Yeah, for sure. Offensively, Pirates did have 450 yards. But like you said, about, 50% of that yardage came on four plays. And so a lot of times we were, there early on, we had excellent field position and we weren't able to take advantage of it. That first drive, you know, you saw Rajay Harris for 14. You saw him 7, 8. But we didn't capitalize, and that kind of set the tone in a negative way. But fortunately, we did start to have some success. Keaton Mitchell had another 100-yard game, but just the passing game was so out of whack, and the timing was off. I'm sure a lot of that has to do with the offensive line, but that's still no excuse. There were times where Holton missed some wide-open receivers, and he'll certainly have to connect on those opportunities if we're going to have a chance to pull the upset against SMU on Saturday.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, it's really interesting when you watch this team because, you know, if you look at the second half of last season, the passing game was fantastic. And Holton was on fire, a lot of big plays in the passing game. And our running game was actually non-existent. And then you flip it to this year and our running game, I'm actually very pleased with the progress. I think I love these two freshman running backs. You know, Harris, I think he's a bruiser, close to like 230 pounds. Really like what he's doing. So I think the future is really bright at running back. But then, unfortunately, the passing game has fallen off right now. So what we need to do is get back to a point where we can throw the ball well and execute in the passing game and then combine the running game. And that's when our offense is going to really start to take off. But right now it seems to be one or the other. And I know we don't really have the balance. You know, you always hear Mike Houston talking about balance. He wants to have a balanced offensive attack. And right now, we just don't have that balance he's looking for, I don't think.
As far as the passing game, I would like to go back and watch some more film if I had the time and break it down in terms of when we throw the football, how many of these passing attempts or off of play action, because it seems like in my opinion at times we're throwing it off play action even though it may be, you know, 3rd and 10 when you might as well just go ahead and throw the football.
No doubt about it. I think that, you know, this RPO system, you know, they're really trying to show play action with Holton and read those linebackers and then make a quick decision. You know, I think that can be very effective. Unfortunately, we did see it led to a pick in that game off of a quick slant coming off play action there. So, you know, I think there's a time and place for it, but you just want to see a little more rhythm. You know, the offense just doesn't quite look fluid to me. You know, you want to see a little more tempo and a little more rhythm as we move forward here. Hopefully this is the week. You know, we'll see.
Coach Steve Shanklin, you know, has done an excellent job with the offensive line. He really has. You talk about how good the running game has been despite so many pieces moving around up front. But the running game has shown tremendous progress. We have allowed 11 sacks in the last three games and a lot of other hurries and pressures. And so Holton obviously is getting moved off his spot and out of the pocket a lot. And that's affecting the timing of the passing game. So hopefully he'll have an opportunity, much like he did at Tulsa, and in addition to South Florida, to really to develop a rhythm and, you know, develop some tempo with the offense because we're executing consistently.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I think that tempo is so important. You know, you saw when Lincoln Riley was here, we had that tempo. And obviously, you know, Coach Houston doesn't want to go that fast. We were going very fast back in those days. But, you know, you did want to see a little more tempo just to get Holton in rhythm. I think that helps a quarterback to a certain extent. You know, and I think it also presents a lot of challenges for the defense because they can't substitute like they normally can, and it really can catch them off balance. So, you know, hopefully we can start to get back to that a little bit more.
And Matt, for me, when you guys, you made some great points. One of the things I've noticed is, do you guys think, because you guys are former players at the college level and not me, and maybe that was to explain some things, that the basically last year we didn't have a running game, so we relied so much on Holton's arm and the passing that all the now everybody knows if you shut down the pass and you know that all you have is a run to make it one-dimensional, I don't know, it just seems like maybe they're focusing as far as other teams, the defensive coordinators, on our passing, because our we've got a lot of great receivers, and I guess it's up to us now as a coaching staff and the players to make adjustments to, okay, well, they know how this is, but we could do this, right?
That's exactly right, you know, and I sense, you know, I understand the situation with the offensive line. You know, we've had so many moving parts there, right? We have a ton of young players. We have freshmen. We have a right tackle who, and I'm not saying, certainly not saying anything bad about him, but he's about 260 pounds, which is virtually unheard of in college football, and that was a result of, you know, injuries and whatnot. So we've had a lot of problems on the offensive line. So you really aren't – you're not sure exactly why this is happening when you're not, you know, intimately involved with the program and on the practice field every day. But certainly I think all those moving parts and the injuries and losing both starting tackles early in the season definitely played a part in it. So, you know, we need some consistency moving forward, and we need to shore up the O-line.
Yeah, for sure. You know, earlier today we were talking, Matt, with Rich Phillips, you know, the play-by-play voice of the SMU Mustangs. He's been doing it awfully well for a long time there in Dallas. And, you know, talking to him on just the efficiency with which this SMU offense operates, despite the coordinator change, you know, Garrett Riley, the younger brother of Lincoln Riley, taking over. They're averaging close to 40 points a game, more than 500 yards. Really going to have to find a way to, you know, bend but not break this weekend against, you know, Shane Bouchel and company.
You know, no doubt about it. I mean, they have – you look at SMU and they have a system, right? So they have an up-tempo system. They have a coach – who has a rich history in offensive football. So they're going to throw it. You know, you look at what they're trying to do. They're going to try to spread you out with four and five wide receivers. They're going to go fast. And then what I like about this particular SMU team is they actually run the ball really well too. So they mix in that running game. You know, they set up the run with the pass. So what they do is they'll spread you out. They'll get you wide, get you off balance, and then they crease you with the running game. And they have a running back. His last name is Bentley. You look at his stats. He's got 877 yards, averaging 5.6 yards a carry. So that's really efficient. And then two other running backs who are over 200 yards as well. So they've run the ball really well this year. So they have that balance, you know, that you see a lot of, and we talk a lot about in the American Conference. But they definitely present a lot of challenges for our defense this week.
And Matt, as far as the, for me personally, another thing that comes to mind is, don't you think when you see bright spots, like last year we're talking about the passing game, and this year, man, there's freshmen. I mean, they're true freshmen running backs, two of them. And you would think that they would be very nervous. It looks like to me there's been a lot of bright spots last year, year one under Mike Houston, now year two under Mike Houston. I've said it all along. I put my reputation on the line. I really believe year three is going to be a really big breakout year for Mike Houston and his staff and the players. I really believe that.
Dave, I totally agree with you. I mean, you could see that this is a process. It's an evolution. He's really, you know, Coach Houston has done a really good job of rebuilding this roster in a short period of time, especially on the defensive line. I love what he did there. But, you know, to your point, Dave, I mean, these running backs, Harris at 230 pounds and then Keaton Mitchell, he can fly. I mean, I am very impressed with his speed. And also his football IQ for a young guy is really impressive to me. You saw on three occasions last Saturday, Keaton Mitchell sprinting down the field and throwing some key blocks. You saw it on Snead's kickoff return. And then you saw it on Holton's long run. I think it was like a 65-yard run. Keaton Mitchell was sprinting down the field. And he actually never touched anybody. but he had the IQ to just get in front of those guys, just get in the way and not block them in the back, which you see, it's almost like an epidemic in college football with young players. You see that block in the back. So he's got the football IQ, and the future is really bright for those guys. I mean, they are definitely the future of the program, a great 1-2 punch, like a thunder and lightning.
Yeah, on that kickoff return, I rewound it because I saw Keaton Mitchell, but at the time I didn't realize who it was that cut him off. I said, hey, I need to see who made that hustle play, and he cut him off twice. Just tremendous, like you said, and to have the smarts to simply cut him off and not touch him. Excellent hustle play, and that's something that you would put on a highlight film as a coach, you know, as far as, guys, this is what it should look like. This is what a special teams coordinator wants to see.
Yeah, no doubt. And you got to love that speed, you know. I mean, you see Keaton Mitchell, you know, I know Hatfield has been banged up this year, but I would really like to see him get more involved this week. I would figure out a way to get those guys on the field together. Even if you take Keaton Mitchell and you split him out like a wide receiver, try to get him matched up on a linebacker. I know, you know, we tried to run some wheel routes on Cincinnati, and we actually it was effective. But I would really look to use his speed even more in the passing game too. Just get him lined up on a linebacker, because the fact is not many linebackers are going to be able to stay with him step for step. So I'd like to see both of those guys get involved in the passing game a little more.
And Matt, by the way, if you didn't know, he's actually a track star. Our great friend Terry Gallagher brags about him. He, being for the state of Georgia, he's a track star. I don't know if he said he won a track championship, but in state, but he's, I believe it, they may have, but it's, you can tell that he has that kind of speed at the running back position.
Yeah, no doubt, Dave. I mean, you can really see it. It sort of jumps out at you when you see him on tape. And that's what we've needed for a while. We've needed a guy that, you know, can make you miss, and then when he gets in the open field, can take it to the house. So I think he's got those abilities, and, you know, you just love that tandem. You know, you love that tandem. If we could get a few more guys like that with that kind of speed at wide receiver, you know, the future will be very bright here.
And there have been a few occasions this year where Keaton Mitchell has been, you know, a step from taking it to the house. Maybe this will be the week where, you know, he'll really hit one of those big plays for 40, 50, 60 yards.
Yeah, it looked like last week he was going to take one to the house. I think it was right before half. And it looked to me like he actually got face masked. If you guys can recall that play, it was a long run. We were backed up.
Is that to the right side?
Exactly. And did it look like, yeah, to you like he got face masked on that?
He did. Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because you and Bubba, I trust with all my life being former football players, it looked like anytime you see like the neck like being snapped, usually as an assistant football coach like I was back in the day, not at y'all's level, but anytime you see that neck snap, it's got to be – I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but it looked like me. Did you know that play we're talking about, Bubba?
I do. Yeah, I remember that. And yeah, that was one, you know, or one of a few plays in that game where I really thought Keaton was going to take it to the house. So he obviously did have the touchdown against Cincinnati, but I'm talking about, you know, an explosion play like he had back in the preseason where I think he took one maybe 95 yards.
No doubt. Well, you can never have enough guys with that speed, you know.
And by the way, Matt, how many times – I was just going to say really quick, Bubba, how many times do you see it – speaking of Keaton Mitchell and Harris, both, how many times have you heard coaches say they did great in practice, they did this, and you never see it on game day, right? This is a case where we've been hearing – in the, by the way, Matt, in the fall camp that we were hearing, look out for Mitchell, Harris. We heard both of those between coaches, just different people that follow the program. We would hear that, and it's nice to see for the 2020 season, even though it's been disappointing wins and losses wise, that things like that, you know, the program is heading the right direction when how somebody practices is how they're playing.
No doubt about it. It's nice to see that translate to Saturdays. And like, I'm blown away by these guys because, you know, I can relate to what it's like playing as a true freshman. I did not redshirt my freshman year, which going back, I wish I had that opportunity, but I can tell you my first year out there, it was, you know, you're kind of swimming. I mean, you know, you're learning the system, you're adjusting to the speed of the game. It's very difficult for a freshman. So to see what these guys have done, you know, just come in like this, they're 18 years old, and be able to pick up the system so quickly and then play at this level against elite competition is really impressive. It says a lot about those guys. And it also says a lot about, you know, their intelligence because, you know, to be able to come in and pick up a system this quickly, I really like that about these guys because they're, you know, they're great athletes, but they're also have a great football IQ. So, and it shows.
Matt, while we're on the topic, Coach Houston was actually talking about that on Monday night on his coach's show on his radio show / Facebook, and you know, people were talking about all the youth on this team and guys having to play early without the benefit of spring practice and coming in mid-year. So just kind of, you know, from your perspective, having gone through it at that level, and just talk about what it was like or what you think it would have been like in a pandemic year like this to not have spring practice and also your summer conditioning with Coach Connors.
Yeah. Well, you know, I do think it had this team been able to go through a spring ball and a summer conditioning, you know, we'd probably have at least another win or two under our belts here. It just makes all the difference in the world. But, you know, to your point, Bubba, I mean, to be able to come in under these situations and pick up the offense that quickly, it's just, yeah, it really says a lot. There's so much you're learning your first year. You know, you're learning different coverages, you're learning schemes, you know, you're just trying to learn where to go on campus. So, you know, when you see this from a player this early, it says a lot. And then you throw in the fact that this year actually doesn't count towards eligibility. These guys still have 4 more years left. You're talking about these guys could go down when it's all said and done as 2 of the top rushers in ECU history.
Yeah, for sure. I think Rajay Harris and or Keaton Mitchell will be right there. Knock on wood, you know, them staying healthy and so on, right there with Junior Smith, Leonard Henry, and some of the top backs in East Carolina history.
No doubt. That would be great company to be up there with those guys. So I hope they can do it, though. I think they have all the ability. So if we can shore up the O-line, I have no doubt that those guys will have multiple 1,000-yard seasons ahead of them.
Yeah, Matt, as far as that very subject, the offensive line, I know that I believe the coaching staff has said for the next couple of recruiting cycles, that O-line and D-line, the line play, if you will, is going to be a top priority. How do you chemistry is so big on a football team, but specifically for offensive, defensive line. Some of it is, I know those guys are young, but also moving the guys around because of injuries. I know people could argue it's part of the game, but still, if those guys can hold steady, then the next year or two, we'll actually see the fruits of the labors of Coach Shank and then Roy Tesh on the D-line.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think bringing in Coach Shank was a great decision. I've followed his career for, you know, for years and years, and he does a great job with the O-line. And, you know, he's a guy that brings a wealth of experience. And honestly, considering the youth that we have and the injuries, I couldn't think of a better guy to coach the O-line. And you can now start to see, you know, his work taking hold. You know, the fact that this team is now rushing for over 200 yards on Temple, you know, that's a good sign. That says a lot about what Shank's doing, especially this year. You know, you guys, it's really unbelievable when you look at the losses on the O-line. I mean, you're talking about 3 of our starters, possibly 4, that we expected to start this year, didn't play really at all. You know, you look at Henderson, the right tackle, Deontay Smith, Cortez Heron, and then there was another guy, was it Morgan, I believe, who was a starter last year too. Though, I mean, it's hard to lose that many guys and then be a productive offense. So, I think they need that continuity. You have the right coach, that's for sure, but you need to stay together, stay in the system, and then you need the off season to develop and hit the weights and get those guys, you know, they need some weight, they need some strength. But again, if you can keep building on that, I have no doubt that they're going to be a very good O-line.
Congratulations, Deontay Smith on his invite to the Reese's Senior Bowl down in Mobile.
Yeah, that's great to see. You know, I hope he does well. And I think if he can get himself back up to over 300 pounds, I think he'll have a really good shot to get drafted.
And Matt, as far as the keys to the game, what are you looking for on Saturday on ESPN Plus and for good friends on the Pirate Sports Radio Network with Jeff Charles? What are you looking for in the game, being a former player, and what are the keys?
Yeah, so you know, I was thinking about this game. I think we're going to need to have some explosion plays. We're going to need to score points, right? I mean, even if we play fantastic on defense, SMU is the type of program, they're going to get theirs. So we're going to need to have explosion plays on offense. We cannot turn the ball over, because if we give SMU extra possessions, that's going to make things very difficult. But, you know, I'll tell you guys, I think this is a winnable game, first of all. I don't see them – I think SMU is a good team, good program, but I don't see them in the class of a UCF or a Cincinnati. I think if we can line up and be really physical on both fronts, and run the ball, keep them off balance a little bit, I think that would definitely help. I think physicality, when you play a team like this that spreads you out and tends to be a little more finesse, physicality is always a big factor, and that's something you hear Coach Houston talk about a lot. So I think that's important on offense. Defensively, I think the biggest thing is when you bring pressure, you have to get home. Because if they get man on the outside, man coverage, and we don't get home on our blitzes, it's going to be big play after big play. So I think Coach Harrell has a big job in front of him, just mixing up coverages, disguising, and making sure that when we do blitz, we make them pay. And he's also going to have some big decisions to make, when to rush three and drop eight and play coverage too, to try to take away that running game. So, you know, I think those are some big things to look for. But, you know, like I said, I think it's a winnable game, but we're going to have to be very physical.
No question about it, Matt. It's hard to believe the season's coming to an end. In some respects, this year has felt like two or three years, but the football season in particular feels like it's gone by very, very fast. Maybe not to the coaching staff and the players. Thank you so much for spending time here on the Private Preview, the end of the season, and I look forward to having you back again and another visit very soon, man.
Awesome. Hey, thanks a lot, guys. It's always fun. Happy to come back anytime.
And, you know, the great thing, Bubba, I want to get your take, because you're a former college player in football. And I really believe that Simmons, the reason I like him a lot, and you and I both like him a lot, is I appreciate the sincerity. I'll tell you one thing. Simmons has a football IQ that I don't know about you, Bubba, and I'm not his agent. I'm not getting paid a dime to say this, but I think he would be a good analyst. What do you think, just based on the times he's been on with us?
I think he is, and he has the perspective of being a former player, and just the few times he's been on with us, and you can tell he really, really gets it. And I enjoy having him on.
No question about it. Thank you, Matt, very much. And, you know, he always talks about how he's very passionate. But, you know, Bubba, the thing, another point I wanted to make is when listen to that interview, him talk, the great thing about it is it shows that he cares. It shows that he's passionate about Pirate football. It shows that he wants Pirate football to be Pirate football. And he knows that Mike Houston is taking the program and headed the right direction. So some people, I think, could misread of him. He's not angry as much as he is passionate. And thank God, I appreciate the fact that we have former players that care. And I appreciate that we have a tremendous fan base. We have one of the best fan bases, if not, in my opinion, I know I'm biased, I'm a homer, I think we have the best fan base in the country, but you look at all the sports we have, the team, they support them really well. But don't you think with Matt that he's a guy that very passionate, and you want that kind of guy as a former player and now an alum and fan of the team.
Yeah, I definitely have a lot of respect for Matt Semenza and the passion that he has for East Carolina and just the game of football in general. You know, I've had multiple people that I've talked to, fellow Pirates, and talk about how much they agreed with his call last week. It's not that we're being negative. We're just, you know, being realistic about what we saw. Yes, we think the program's certainly headed in the right direction under Mike Houston and his coaching staff. But at the same time, saw things that were concerning, even though we did pick up the 28-3 win at Temple against a depleted Owls team.
No question. And the good news is that this is a work in progress. And like me, I'm a work in progress. But the Pirate, in other words, this is not – I would be concerned, Bubba, I'll say this and we'll move on. I would be concerned if this were the ceiling for the Pirates. But this is just the beginning, folks. This is just the beginning for where this program is headed. I'm telling you, you got to trust the process, as our friend Terry Gallagher likes to say when he played in the 70s for Pat Dye. Trust the process. And that's what we need to do. And, Bubba, you know, with let's talk SMU. This program, we've got Rich Phillips coming on in just a second, but I wanted to mention this because I, as a kid in 1984, when they got the death penalty, I remember that program, Bubba, being, I mean, big-time football. I mean, now it's a totally different landscape in college football now with 500 games on. But back then, I mean, SMU was on a lot in the old Southwest Conference, and they have such a rich tradition, and I don't know about you, but I feel like you probably feel the same way I do. I have a tremendous amount of respect for the program. Sonny Dykes is a heck of a coach, and he's done a nice job down there in Dallas and Big D, don't you think?
Yeah, he really has. And Sonny Dykes, one of the things we talked about with Rich Phillips is how Sonny Dykes grew up an SMU fan. So when it comes to other schools potentially trying to lure him away, he's not going to leave for just any job.
No question. And you can tell it. You can tell it the way that he has, being a Texas guy, there's a lot of guys that are great coaches, and we talk all the time not being the right fit. He is the right fit from SMU. And I think that a lot of guys like him, like a Sonny Dykes, realizes there's a great football in the state of Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, all around him to recruit from. He knows that area extremely well. And now you get a chance to coach your favorite school, which is probably more pressure on him because he wants them to win so bad. However, I really like Coach Dykes a lot. And do you want to go to that interview with Rich?
Yeah, let's go to that conversation we had with the longtime play-by-play voice of the SMU Mustangs, Rich Phillips. East Carolina playing its season finale this weekend against the SMU Mustangs. And right now, to preview the matchup, we welcome back into the program the longtime play-by-play voice of the Mustangs, Rich Phillips. Rich, we appreciate your time.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
You know, Rich, taking a look at this matchup, both of these programs have been very fortunate in terms of COVID and the impact it's had on the program this year. You know, the Mustangs did have to miss last weekend's game, but that was because of the University of Houston. So just bring us up to speed. Where do things stand right now with SMU health-wise, both injury-wise and then also in terms of COVID?
Well, so far, at least at the start of the week, I know all was good. Again, on the COVID front, to my knowledge, there's been only two players test positive in season for SMU, and they've been able to avoid any major contact tracing with those guys, some of what they've been doing all year long. Injury-wise, things are looking better, too. SMU did play the Tulsa game 2 weeks ago without their starting left tackle, Jalen Thomas, but he would have played last Saturday had the Houston game happen. They're starting kick returner and one of their key backup corners, Brandon Crosley, I think is going to be able to return this week. And then wide receiver Danny Gray got dinged up in the Tulsa game, but should be good to go. He's already been back to practice this week. So health-wise, they're doing pretty good. As it turns out, the unexpected week off because of Houston's postponement actually helped this team out, I think, on that front a lot.
The Mustangs right outside of the top 25 last time out, lost that absolute heartbreaker to Tulsa where they were up three touchdowns after the first quarter. So just talk about where things are in that regard. What do you think? What's the mindset of this team after such a heartbreaking defeat, just ready to get back at it?
Well, first off, that Tulsa team is ridiculous because they pulled that when they were down 21-0 to SMU, pulled it out. Probably got pretty fortunate against your guys, East Carolina, in that win.
Somebody fortunate.
Yeah, they're like a cat. They have nine lives for sure.
Well, then last week they're playing their third-string quarterback against Tulane in the second half, and they're able to rally back and win in overtime. So that team's ridiculous. For SMU, you know, obviously it was a bit of a downer to lose that game to Tulsa in such heartbreaking fashion. It hasn't completely taken them out of the hunt for the conference championship game, but they're going to have to sit back and hope that Tulsa loses their last three games. That's the only way, and SMU has to win their last two. That's the only way they're going to make it there to play Cincinnati. So definitely took a little bit of the shine off of things, a little of the luster, but I think these guys are still very motivated to play. Like I mentioned, all the relative non-issues they've had within the program from COVID this year kind of shows how committed the guys are to this. They've been following all the protocols that they have, not only when they're at the stadium, at the practice field, but when they're away as well. This team's had like no in-person meetings, no group meals together. They've done everything remotely this year, and the players have stayed on board with it and stayed healthy.
Rich, Garrett Riley returning to East Carolina. Obviously, brother Lincoln was a longtime offensive coordinator here under Ruffin McNeil. Garrett got his, to my knowledge, his first true coaching job here as a receivers coach during Ruffin's last year. Have you guys talked to Garrett about returning to Greenville? Does it mean anything to him? Any emotion there?
Haven't had a chance to talk to him about it this week. I'm sure it's cool for him to go back there. And it's obviously a huge spot for him here with SMU now, too, getting to be the offensive coordinator and overseeing, you know, one of the best offenses around, top 20 in the nation in scoring offense. Total offense is 13th in the nation. He's kind of just been able to pick up what was left to him by Rhett Lashley, the previous offensive coordinator who left from Miami, and has done a great job with him this season.
Yeah, you talk about that offense, Rich, right at 40 points a game and then over 500 yards per game. The guy that really makes it go, and the trigger man, quarterback Shane Buechele. So just talk about him and the season he's had. I think he has a touchdown to interception ratio of 21-4.
Yeah, it's been extremely small. Unfortunately, he did end with an interception at the end of the last game against Tulsa. But of those four interceptions, two came in the opener this season. He has been very, very efficient with the ball. His completion percentage is approaching 65%, which is going to be a school record if he stays on that pace for a single season. Second in the nation in passing yards. He's top 10 in passing touchdowns. Man, he has been everything SMU could have hoped for when he grad transferred here 2 years ago.
Talk about the skill guys. Obviously, you had Reggie Robertson go down with an injury several games ago against Tulane, I believe it was. But there's certainly no shortage of wide receivers for Shane Buechele to throw to. So talk about them, and also Bentley, a tremendous tailback.
Yeah, the one thing they've been missing since Reggie Robertson went down is just that game-breaking guy and the guy that could be dominant, because that's what Reggie has been here. Last year he was a little bit in the shadows of James Prochet, of course got drafted by the Ravens, but definitely was the alpha male among the receivers this year. They don't have quite that now. Rashee Rice has been a very consistent player for him, just a sophomore and leading the team in receiving. Tyler Page is a guy who's stepped into the starting lineup after the departure of Robertson, and has been way better than Sonny Dykes will tell you, way better than they thought he was. He says, shame on us for not playing him more earlier than we have now. He's been that good. And their tight end, Kylan Granson's been a huge factor for them once again this year. 30 catches, 500 yards for him at the tight end spot. So it's kind of by committee out there at the receiver group. They don't have that dominant player. But you mentioned redshirt freshman running back Ulysses Bentley against Tulsa a couple weeks ago. He scored his 11th touchdown of the season. That's a school record for a freshman here at SMU. He's run for 877 yards. He's, I believe, within 1,000 of the freshman rushing record as well at SMU. And remember, this includes those guys back in the Pony Express days, Dickerson and James and whatnot, and some tremendous running backs that have come through here over the years. And Ulysses likely to break that freshman rushing record, maybe even this Saturday.
The SMU defense last year obviously struggled big time. This year, not setting the world on fire, but improved over last year's defense. Talk about the Ponies on that side of the ball.
You know, where they have really shown improvement in the last month and a half has been at the linebacker spot. We had a lot of questions about that group. Richard McBride was pretty good last year and returning in the middle. Delano Robinson had just been kind of a steady player, and Trevor Denbo's played linebacker, played safety last year, has moved back to linebacker. And in the last month and a half, those have been the three best players on defense for them easily. And they have really stepped up and controlled a couple of running teams here in the last several weeks. They did it against Navy, where SMU had never done that, and their defense did such a good job against the Navy rushing attack that SMU ran for more yards than Navy did in that game. And then against Temple the next week, another great performance from the linebacking crew. So those three guys have really stood out for them, I'd say, in the last month and a half. They're still mixing and matching a lot on the defensive line. They haven't found like a dominant player up there. The secondary, especially at safety, man, they are young, and the safeties, I think, have been really good too. They have one junior, and the rest are sophomores and freshmen that play at safety, and they'll roll four guys all throughout the game, and they've been really solid on that end.
Yeah, that's a matchup that I'm really interested in this weekend's game in terms of that SMU rushing defense against East Carolina's rushing attack. Much improved from what it was a season ago. Last year, yes, East Carolina put up 51 points and threw for nearly 500 yards, but didn't do a tremendous amount on the ground that day. And I guess on one hand, they didn't maybe need to, but this year they've run for over 200 yards five times. They've had a 100-yard rusher in five out of the last six games, led by the freshman Rajay Harris, and then also Keaton Mitchell. So how do you see that matchup? I know you said that they're much improved, especially here of late.
Yeah, it's going to be those three guys at linebacker that I just mentioned, I think, that are going to have to step up to shut down that rushing attack. I know this. I know SMU is not overlooking Holton Ahlers at all after that game last week. He gave the Mustangs everything – or last year, rather. He gave the Mustangs everything they could handle, threw for nearly 500, five or six touchdowns too. I thought he was extremely impressive. I watched him last week in the Temple game too, and thought he looked great and finally broke off a long run, which he hadn't done much of this year. So, but the linebackers, that's really where the key's been here in the last month and a half for SMU's defense.
Yeah, you mentioned Holton Ahlers. To me this year, he's been a little disappointing. He really hadn't had that type of performance against SMU. Closest would be against Tulsa, and he has it in him. I don't know what's going on, if it's between the years or what, but I don't know. Maybe he's due. Maybe this will be the weekend.
I hope not.
do you make anything into traveling such a long distance on Thanksgiving weekend? I know, in the past I've seen that affect teams where you have to take such a long road trip and it's on Thanksgiving weekend and the kids, can't be with their families and they can't see their families. And, I guess this year it might have been different for – it's going to be different for everybody anyway.
Yeah.
But do you make anything into that, or is it just another football game?
I think it's just another football game in 2020 because travel sucks anyway for these guys in 2020. I know the SMU team, they've done charter flights to New Orleans and to Philadelphia. I think that's the only flights they have made this year. The rest were bus trips. And they'll do it again this week, obviously, coming up to Greenville. And they have their guys masked. They have them wearing face shields. They don't serve any food and beverage on the flight. Nobody is supposed to get up and go to the bathroom during the flight. Travel sucks anyway for these guys. So, and like you said, Thanksgiving's different for everybody. They're actually planning this week after practice on Thursday morning. They're going to have a team meal, and Sonny Dykes told me on our radio show this week, it's the first team meal they're going to have this year, and they have 50 tables set up to do this. So there will be about two players and one coach at each table, and that's the first team meal they've had this year. That's how different this season has been. So as far as being away on the holiday, I don't think that – I think that's trumped by everything else that's been going on and that they've already had to deal with on their road trips.
Yeah, Rich, you bring up something else. Obviously, in the hours and days leading up to a game, you're thinking as a player, hydrate. But with what you just brought up and about not being able to use the restroom on the plane, that's another wrench thrown into things.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, at my age that doesn't work on a flight out to the East Coast.
Yeah, definitely not. But 2020, hopefully we will never see another year like it. That goes without saying, but you know, Rich, taking a closer look at things, Kyle's talking about the struggles of Holton Ahlers at times this year. He's probably played well in maybe four out of the Pirates or six starts that he's had, or I guess seven now. But, you know, he was really sharp against South Florida, really sharp at Tulsa when the Pirates should have pulled that upset. Mm-hmm. And then, as some people would say, did pull that upset. But
yeah.
Only to have them taking it away from him officiating-wise. But Holton's had a lot of pressure on him. The opposing defenses have really seen a revolving door at some of the offensive line positions. We're down three offensive tackles. So just talk about what type of pressure SMU has been able to put on opposing quarterbacks.
In recent weeks, it's been better. It's been nothing like what we saw last year. This team set a school record and led the country with, I believe it was 51 sacks last year. This season, they have 23 as a team through their nine games. They don't have that dominant pass rusher. Really, probably their best guy on the defensive line has actually been their nose tackle, which you don't normally expect numbers out of a nose tackle. But Elijah Chapman has been among the team leaders in tackles for loss and in sacks for the entire season, and he's been a very consistent force in the middle. They did get a couple from one of their defensive ends, Turner Cox, last week in the Tulsa game, but it's been kind of a grab bag to find who's going to pressure the quarterback. They've gotten it at times, but there's just not a consistent threat to get there.
Against Temple, Tyler Snead, a guy who really had a big day receiving against SMU last year. Can't recall what he did in the return game, but he took a kickoff to the house, 95 yards. How have the SMU special teams been this year in terms of kick coverage? And then we'll dive into the kicking side of things.
Well, kick coverage, they don't have to cover very many because Chris Nagar, who is a grad transfer from Texas, he has kicked off 62 times this year. 41 of the 62 have been touchbacks. Last year, the team didn't have half that many touchbacks. So kick coverage has been great because they just let Chris kick it through the back of the end zone and let him set it to 25. And that's pretty much what it is almost every time.
And I know Nagar, obviously, like you said, tremendously strong leg. He's done pretty well on the field goal side of things also, correct?
Yeah, 16 out of 20. His misses, three of the four, have been 40-plus. I think a couple of his misses are 50-plus this year. We sent him out for a 57-yarder at Tulane, and he missed it, hitting it halfway up the upright from 57 yards. So just a little bit more into the right, and it would have been good from a lot longer than 57. He's been easily the single best addition the team has made from last year to this year, because last season, collectively, they had three kickers miss seven extra points. They only made 12 field goals collectively last year, and they didn't make one at longer than 38 yards. And Chris has been a total weapon, as I mentioned to you, kicking the ball off because they couldn't hardly kick it to the end zone last year. But field goal kicking, and he even handles the punting for us now. He's been the biggest upgrade they have made at any position this year.
You have had some jobs start to open up around the country, as a lot of folks will call it. The silly season has begun, obviously South Carolina as well as others. Have you heard Coach Dyke's name being rumored anywhere, and what do you think his future holds going forward?
Haven't heard anything in regards to Sonny going anywhere. I think his future here at SMU is certainly as long as he wants it to be. The school extremely happy with him, and I feel – the opposite is the same too. The reverse is the same, that coach is really happy here. He's talked about growing up as a kid in West Texas. He was an SMU fan, and there was even pictures circulated by the SMU football social crew of about a 12 or 13 year old Sonny Dykes getting ready to go to a game at Texas Tech wearing his SMU Mustang shirt. He loves it here. His family loves it here. He's been an unbelievable fit in three seasons, and he definitely can stay as long as he wants, and I get the feeling he would like to stay here for quite a while longer. It's been a really good match for both sides.
Yeah, it seems like a good fit.
Yeah, outstanding. Much better, I think, than we even expected when it started. It's been outstanding.
Yep.
In this matchup this weekend, Rich, you know, last year we had that 59-51 shootout. Do you think this one, not necessarily that high, but do you think this is a game that will be like 40-something to 30-something? How do you see this one playing out?
That's generally what SMU plays. They didn't do it against Tulsa because Tulsa shut them down in the second half. But, it's a regular occurrence to get into the 40s for the Mustangs, and don't see why they would stop this weekend either.
Rich, certainly appreciate your time. I know you also have basketball getting cranked up.
We hope.
Yeah, we hope. Definitely fingers crossed there, as East Carolina has already had some postponements or cancellations, rather, pulling out of the Gulf Coast Showcase down in Fort Myers, Florida. But before we let you go, give us a thumbnail sketch of the Mustangs on the hardwood.
A lot of guys back from last year, including all-conference player Kendrick Davis at point. Was his first season here last year after transferring from TCU. He was outstanding. Faron Hunt, guy who on the front line continues to get better every single year. A lot of expectations here. They've got a few injury things they're still trying to fight through. One of their players was involved in a car wreck about a month ago and hasn't been back to practice yet, but should be soon. And you know, hey, who knows? Because the non-conference schedule, like many schools, doesn't have a lot of great tests on there for SMU in the first couple of weeks before they get into conference play. But certainly a lot of guys back, so they got a lot of experienced players this year.
Out of curiosity, Rich, and, you know, before we started recording, we were just discussing how many Division I men's basketball programs there are in the state of North Carolina, as well as just the region. Obviously, the same in Texas with it being such a large state. Who is SMU playing non-conference-wise?
We got Sam Houston coming in here tomorrow night. Texas A&M Corpus Christi is coming up next week. But then Houston Baptist, they do go to Dayton next week and probably their toughest test in non-conference. And then we've got a return game against Vanderbilt from last year. And I believe that's the whole non-conference schedule. And the conference schedule begins with SMU and East Carolina, by the way, on December 16th.
Yeah, I would say Dayton's a pretty tough test.
Yeah, definitely so. That's definitely top of the list here for SMU and non-conference. And this is what stinks about this whole pandemic, among other things, of course, is they had a home game with Georgia that got canceled. They had a home-and-home startup with Arizona State that got canceled. They had UNLV coming here, and that got canceled all because of various reasons during the COVID-19 pandemic. And so what was going to be a great schedule, home schedule for our fans, has turned out to be a little bit lackluster, unfortunately.
No.
Good news is that Obi Toppin will no longer be playing for the Flyers. So at least they don't have to go against him, but yeah, still a strong challenge for sure at UD Arena coming up for the Mustangs. Rich, as always, we appreciate your time. Before we let you go, tell our listeners how they can follow you on social media.
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter, as I have to look to see what my handle is because I can't ever remember. R. Phillips, Texas, at R. Phillips, Texas. You can find me on Twitter there.
All right, thanks very much, Rich, for coming on. As always, he's very nice to us and generous with his time and comes on. And, you know, Bubba, he actually is a guy who has been the play-by-play voice a long time with the Mustangs, kind of like with the voice of the Pirates, Jeff Charles. And it's good to see for the folks in Dallas that are fans of SMU or the alums there to see the program back up where it needs to be. And it's one of the best programs, obviously was huge before the death penalty, again in 1984. It's nice to see that they've taken a program that was nothing and they've turned it into something. And, you know, Bubba, they went along, as you know, obviously as a little kid in the 80s, but you know that they have really, 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 it took a while to get them to back, you know, to relevance. And now that they, I think they are relevant. And I think that you'll see that Sonny Dykes is building something special there. And, you know, it's another reason why Pirate Nation, why we have to be better, because, I mean, the rich are getting richer. I mean, the people that are the Tulanes of the world, they're better. Cincinnati is really good. Everybody, it's almost like having a neighborhood and you have a house and it was a great house, but you haven't renovated in a long time. Well, you better start getting the renovations going, because every other house has been renovated except your house on the block.
Yeah, as far as SMU's program is concerned, you know, all those illegal activities and the Pony Express days and in the early 80s and so forth, I was too young to remember that. So when I think of SMU football, my earliest recollection, you know, was there in the late 80s or early 90s, and just my dad talking about how they got the death penalty. And I remember, I guess it was North Carolina, traveled down there one year to play those guys. And, you know, a lot of their games had been played
at Texas Stadium back in the day. But when North Carolina played them, it looked almost like a high school stadium at which they were playing. But that program has really grown in recent years, not only Sonny Dykes, but prior to that, obviously Chad Morris. He did a nice job in his time there. June Jones did a nice job turning things around.
Right.
SMU, those fans in Dallas – obviously, so many of them are probably, Texas A&M, but the SMU fans are just the people of Dallas. If they're not affiliated with a university, need to get out and support the Mustangs because they definitely have it rolling.
No question, Bubba. And you look at this ball game, the Pirates are going to have to play a perfect game or close enough to perfect. But I do believe that Kyle was onto something. I do believe that that we can do some nice things and some things to pull off the upset. You definitely want to make sure. I think that one thing I was going to say to you is that as far as special teams are concerned, man, it would be nice to have another kickoff return by Tyler Snead and for Holton having a good day. But another thing too is, as Matt Semenza was talking about, the passing game, we've got to find a way for the passing game to improve. And we've got the thing that frustrates me, and I would just say this, we got a ton of talent at that position. The skill position has been, unbelievable. It's been great. And you look at the running backs, mostly, have been improved. And I think the O-line, considering all that, but the skill position, we look at wide receiver, we're loaded. Wide receiver U. And we just haven't had the, as far as that room is concerned, we haven't really had the output that we thought we would.
We definitely have not. We definitely need to operate with the efficiency that we did against USF and Tulsa. Obviously, Tulsa is the better of those two defenses by far. And Holton was dead on that night. Tremendously accurate, putting balls on a dime. And really was about as sharp as you can be, with the exception of that one interception where I know Coach Kirkpatrick maybe called the protection wrong, but Holton still didn't have to throw the ball the way he did. But outside of that, against Tulsa, that's the type of game we're going to need from Holton Aylers on Saturday. We'll just need to operate with a little more efficiency in the red zone, which has really been a struggle this year. We can't have the issues in the kicking game in terms of getting field goals blocked.
Right.
And missing chip shots, which really hasn't been much of an issue outside of a time or two. It's been more the getting kicks deflected or blocked. But hopefully we'll be getting touchdowns and not having to send Jake Verity out there too much. In addition to that, defensively, you're not going to stop SMU. We're just going to have to be opportunistic. We're going to have to slow them down as much as we can, find a way to get them to kick some field goals instead of scoring touchdowns, maybe force two or three turnovers. And we've talked about it when we've lost the turnover battle in most games this season. The two games which we won the turnover battle, hey, guess what? We won against USF and then Temple. But still, against the Owls, we committed two turnovers. We're not going to be able to do that this week, and we're going to have to have zero or one and probably win the turnover battle by at least two. So, if we – whether it's zero and two or one and three, we're going to have at least a couple more takeaways than SMU has in order to steal a couple possessions, because we're going to need them to outscore the Mustangs on Saturday afternoon.
No question about it. And do you have a prediction that you want to give? Have you thought about it?
Hopefully I'm wrong, but I will say SMU 45, East Carolina 27.
All right. It's going to be a tough game. I think it's going to be I'm going with SMU too, and I hate that because Senior Day, I want to give a shout-out to all the seniors. Thank you for staying with the program. You mean a lot to us, but when you're putting that offense of SMU, I think is still, what was the point spread, by the way, before I've got my prediction. I'll tell you what it is.
Yeah, Dave,
do you know?
if you want to go ahead with your prediction, I'll tell you what the line was. I want to say it opened up at 11.5 or 12, but I'll say it's still right around that. But go ahead with your prediction.
Well, I haven't had a chance. I'll be honest. I heard it at the beginning of the week with you guys, you and Kyle, but I haven't checked like I normally do. So in fairness, I'll say that, but I'm going with my gut feeling. I think it's going to be SMU 41, Pirates 27. I hope I'm wrong. I've been wrong many times before in my life in this season. I think it's going to be a 2-touchdown game. I hope I'm wrong. I hope Holton has a huge day. If somehow we could score in the 40s, Bubba, I really believe even low 40s like that, if you flip the score, then we would have a chance. But there's no way that SMU is only going to score 27. I think they're going to score high 30s, low 40s at least, to say the least. So it's going to have to take a lot of offense. And I'm not picking on a defense, but SMU, man, they've got a great quarterback, great coach, great offense. I hope I'm wrong, but again, I'll stick with 41-27.
Yeah, we're going to have to get Chris Willis, Rick DeAbreu, and Jaira Wilson. Those guys are going to have to get some pressure on Shane Buechel for sure.
Yeah.
And you know, move him off his mark because he's extremely efficient, has done an excellent job taking care of the football. He's 21-4 in terms of touchdowns to interceptions this season. Two of those picks came in the season opener against Texas State. So he's largely done what he's wanted to do in a lot of ball games, and we're going to have to do whatever we can to disrupt that. As far as the line's concerned, it opened up at 12, according to this source, and it is still at 12. The over-under is 67.5.
Well, I definitely think it'll be over 67, but we'll see. But certainly I like the Mustangs on this one. I hope that I'm wrong. You guys know who I pull for, so am I covering the team, alum, fan, you name it, when it comes to the Pirates. I bleed purple and gold, but at the same time, it looks like it's going to be the Mustangs. We'll see. And before we get out of here, by the way, Bubba, we want to mention, too, that a lot of great stuff going on this week. I want to remind fans that basketball season is upon us. And before we go, Bubba, I know that we're going to do overtime again. If you don't know what that is, after the games, we're going to do a post-game show. And thanks to Bubba for always working hard on all of that. A lot of different content. Bubba, you worked really hard. I appreciate you so much. And I was going to say this to you, Bubba, but as far as the show is concerned, what are you thankful for? I'm thankful for Bubba Rosenbaum, Kyle Barber, all the greats, former players we have come on, our great guests every year. I'm very appreciative of that. When it comes to my personal life, my children are number one. Obviously, my family, my work family, obviously, are very important to me. My close friends, want to be thankful for that. But anyway, I wanted to mention that. What are you thankful for, Bubba?
Obviously, what you're saying as far as, being thankful for everything we do here, but beyond that, thankful for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the relationship I have with Him, then health, friends, family, having a beautiful wife, and two kids that I love to death, Riley and Reese. Just love those guys, and can't imagine life without them.
No question about it, and certainly Bubba, with the programming we got coming up. Pirates, I know, have been a football preview, but we have basketball previews coming up. We already have two in the can, Division I preview around the state of North Carolina. We have another one, the third part, coming out. Plus, we have a lot of great other content, including the Marshall tribute we did, released back a couple weeks ago on the 14th. So make sure you check that out. Getting a lot of positive feedback around the nation. Thank you to the Thunder and Herd Nation and all around the nation. People have really been complimentary. So thank you so much for that. And Bubba, I know with the basketball team, we'll have a couple Friday and Saturday. We have overtime. Speaking of overtime, we got a lot of overtime because both sports are overlapping this week. And we've got to put a little bit of extra midnight oil, right?
Yeah. As always, we'll have complete coverage of the East Carolina SMU game, our Pirate Football playback. We'll have post-game audio and video from East Carolina head coach Mike Houston, in addition to selected players, hopefully talking about a huge Pirate win, which would undoubtedly be the biggest win of the Mike Houston era.
Oh, yeah.
And in addition to that, like you said, Dave, we will have we'll have overtime reflecting on what will hopefully be an East Carolina season opening victory over Charlotte. And last year, the Pirates beat the 49ers in Minji's, a game in which we were there. And hopefully we'll make it two in a row over the 49ers on Friday afternoon. And that game is at 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock tip off at Halton Arena here in Charlotte. And that game will be available for, there will be a live stream on YouTube via the Charlotte Athletics site. We'll put that on our social media where Pirate Nation can check it out. But as far as overtime's concerned, we'll be taking a look back at that game. And then on Saturday, right about the time the football game is wrapping up, 3 o'clock, the Pirates will be tipping off against Division II Belmont Abbey at Charlotte inside Halton Arena.
Should be great, Bubba. Looking forward to it. Thank you again, my man, behind the scenes. Thanks to our great guest, Matt Semenza, former letterman for East Carolina football. And obviously want to thank Rich Phillips, the play-by-play voice of the SMU Mustangs. Bubba, thanks to you. Kyle, buddy, get better. We appreciate him and thinking about you very, very much. All right, until next time, you've been listening and watching the Pirate Preview right here on the Sports Objective. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.